My word, has this series been awesome or what? I mean, it's like a blessing every week, right? I mean, we could just have prayer and go home right now. Let's pray. I mean, anybody else being blessed by the man series so far? Anybody? Yeah, all right. I mean, you know, you chop, you put your hands up, or you don't swing like a baseball bat. I mean, this is just awesome, awesome stuff. So really excited you're here today as we're in week number 3 of the series, talking to men. And we're going to get around the campfire again because, you know, when I get around the campfire with a bunch of guys, I don't have to caveat everything I say. I don't have to worry about if guys are going to, you know, agree with me or not. They're not going to agree with everything I say. It's totally fine. There's just a different fluency when we gather around the fire than in the rest of our PC world. And so, my name's Kurt, by the way. It's great to have you here with us today. If you're here for the first time, man, we're so excited you've joined us today for on this Sunday. There are so many places you could be today on this beautiful Sunday. So, great to have you here. And today, we're going to talk today about how there's something really special that happens when a man brings what a man is supposed to bring into any relationship, which is that of being a protector. And so, let me pray for us before we go into this. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather in this space today. Thank you for the freedom that we have to gather in this space today. This is a safe place, and we can freely gather because of people who have gone before us and died on our behalf, people who right now even are laying their lives on the line for our freedom, people who have fought for us, people who have enabled our country to have what we have, even with all the problems we have, with all the frustrations and difficulties at times we have. I don't know that there's anybody here that would rather live in another place. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us to learn today about the 5 spheres of protection that we as men are supposed to operate in. And God, help us to see that these are also connected to your identity. And I just pray these things according to your character, according to your identity, God. Amen. Well, a Tough Mudder, chief executive, creative officer, Alex Patterson, he says this. He says, "We don't really know if we're tough anymore. We don't have fist fights. We don't chop wood. Life has become convenient and easy. At Tough Mudder, we get a lot of what we call the fight club male, 25 to 40-year-old guy in a white-collar job who hasn't been scared, hasn't been wet and muddy, and wants to test himself to see what he's made of, to prove if he's, even though he's 38 and has a roller bag and a door on his minivan that closes by itself, he still has this inner badass. It's this visceral sense of accomplishment that handing in the Q2 report doesn't give you." We're actually going to be giving a piece of this upcoming weekend in something called Man Camp. Anybody excited about Man Camp this morning? Anybody in the room excited? Yeah, I hope so, because there wasn't much grunting in the first hour today. I thought maybe some of you, anybody excited about Man Camp? Let me ask again. Yeah, all right. Yeah, so one night, overnight event this Friday night through Saturday midday. Chance for men, 18 years of age and older. In this case, even though you may be 14 and a boy, the state says you're 18, you know, and you're a man, so you have to be 18 and older. And you can sign up online or in the app under What's Happening. And I tell you what, sign up closes Tuesday. We've got a great group already going. There's still spots left. Closes at midnight Tuesday, so make sure you jump in there if you're planning to be a part of this. And this is going to stretch a lot of us. We've had guys say, "Well, I've never camped before." That's awesome. I mean, we're going to teach you how. We've had guys say, "Well, I don't know how to set up a tent, or you know, I don't know anybody going." Awesome. We're going to show you how. You know, we had one guy that said, "I've never, you know, taken a dump in the woods." Well, great. We'll show you how to do that too. All right. I mean, you may want to do that instead of going to the outhouse. That's all there is an outhouse. And so we just think this is going to grow men physically as well as spiritually together as we, you know, have to do challenges and really work together as a team and in relationships. So make sure you sign up. Because see, here's the thing. You can be a boy and you can be 14 or you can be a man. Your age, you know, whether you're over 18 or not, doesn't matter. I mean, I meet many 14-year-old boys, and then I've met a ton of 48-year-old, you know, or 14-year-old men. I meet a lot of boys that are still in their 40s and 50s. And so, you know, last week we looked at this classic man in the Old Testament, kind of this manly man. We're going to continue our look at him today. His name's David, King David, as you might know him as. And you can't really categorize David. I mean, David is not your stereotypical man on some fronts, and then he is on other fronts. I mean, the dude writes poetry, all right? I mean, his poetry is so good, it makes the National Prayer Journal for the Nation of Israel. It's called the Book of Psalms. I mean, it goes into the Bible. And he stands around and plays a harp around the campfire. I mean, he's got these feminine characteristics, at least what our culture says is feminine, and yet he's blue collar at times. I mean, in his younger years, he's a shepherd boy. He's out, you know, tending sheep, the dirty, dirty job of sheep. Eventually, he becomes white collar, if you will, as he becomes the king of the nation of Israel. He's the leader of the nation of Israel. He's also, you know, a warrior. He's a manly man as a warrior. In fact, he has to go out and do something for King Saul on the front lines. And he realizes when he takes food out to his brothers, only like 12 or 13 at the time, he goes to take lunch to his brothers who are fighting for the nation of Israel. And there's a stalemate happening. And he walks out there, and there's this big giant of a man, Goliath, on behalf of the Philistines, this group of people who are anti-God, and he's down there taunting the nation of Israel. He's like, come on, who's going to bring it? Who's going to settle this thing once and for all? And David is stupefied as to why nobody, no men, are stepping up. Now, David steps up. Now, some thought, oh, David can't do this. He's just a shepherd boy, and this is where they have David wrong. Because he may only be 12 or 13 or 14, but he is a shepherd man. Because he steps up as a man and he defends the honor of the nation of Israel. And this is a quality that I just believe we are shy of today. I think this is a quality that we just see waning and waning in our culture more and more. And so, men, we have to use what God has given us to be protectors. And so there's five spheres that I want us to look at today that we need to bring protection in. First is most obvious. It's one we immediately always think of. It's the physical. See, men use their strength to protect physically. Boys use their strength to take. In fact, in the book of 1 Peter, there's this really interesting, you know, picture on how a man should relate to his wife. In fact, here's what it says. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the women, to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I don't know exactly what this means when it says weaker vessel, because I know some friends of mine, their wives can do way more push-ups than them, all right? And so I don't know what it means to be weaker. So in all cases, I don't get this. But guys, let's not try to skirt around what this is really getting at. What this is saying is you're here to do for women and people who can't defend themselves, maybe as well as you can. You're here to bring what you have to do that for them. That's what this is saying. Not as a lesser vessel. Someone we're defending is not a lesser vessel. It just might be that at certain times they're weaker. Now, physically, there have been very few times where I've had to step in and defend, you know, the honor of my family. I mean, with my kids some, with, you know, standing up to kids or kids that were picking on them in the cul-de-sac when they were little or something like that. You know, I remember a few times we've come home from, you know, being out for the night and we left our garage door open and everybody's like, what if somebody got into our house? And so I'd grab the axe, you know, out of the garage and baseball bat and I'd go through the house, you know. Looking at every you know, closet, you know, kind of making sure the house is safe before they come in. But for the most part, I mean, I've never had to fist fight someone to defend my wife's honor. So, I mean, today, usually the physical side isn't something that we, for the most part, have to do. But here's the question, guys. If you had to, would you be prepared? Would you be prepared? Some of you heard me talk about something that I did this past fall called the Fight Club. And the Fight Club is a 10-week training experience for men, for 18-year-old boys or men and older. And I tell you what, I thought, I don't know if I could defend physically my wife's honor. I don't know if I'm fully equipped to relationally defend or to spiritually be the man I'm called to be. I mean, that's my job, but I can always grow in this. In fact, Fight Club's based on Nehemiah 4:14, where Nehemiah says, I looked and arose and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, do not be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, and fight for your wives, and fight for your homes. I tell you what, man, if you read that, and there's any part of you that goes, gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to defend physically, you know, my family or my home or, you know, some of the other things we're going to look at today. Man, I want to challenge you to consider Fight Club. And we got Man Camp this weekend. Fight Club kicks off the following weekend, Friday night, March 3rd. It's at 11 o'clock at night. It'll go a couple hours into the evening. And you might say, well, why 11 o'clock at night? Well, so you don't have any other commitments, all right? I mean, the only thing you're going to be losing is sleep. Right? And you're not going to be a wuss the next day and be like, oh, I was up half the night. No, you're going to be a man. You're going to get up and serve your family and do the normal things. But just commit to the kickoff event and see if it's for you. Signing up for the kickoff event, you can do it under What's Happening in the app or online. It doesn't commit you to the 10 weeks. It just commits you to going and checking it out and deciding if you're going to link arms with other men from Crosspoint and you're going to grow as a man. I tell you what, I didn't think I had that much room to grow. It kicked my butt, and I grew enormously through those 10 weeks. And so think about it. See, this ties in to this masculine quality of protecting. And whenever as men we see it, it inspires us. When we see it or we're a part of it, something stirs in us, kind of like when I saw this video recently.
An inspiring story out of Kenosha. A student being bullied at a junior high school basketball game caught the attention of the basketball players.
And those players walked off the court to defend her.
Michelle Fiore reports from Kenosha.
Well, this is where it all happened for Desiree Andrews. As she was being bullied from these stands, a couple of boys on the basketball team said, enough's enough. And that's where this bullying situation turned her life around. Desiree Andrews no longer walks to class alone. Students have been drawn to her after a situation that could have taken away this pretty smile.
The kids in the audience were picking on Dee, so we all stepped forward.
Andrews has Down syndrome. These three boys were in the middle of a game when they heard something upsetting directed at one of their cheerleaders, a girl who dances to her own beat.
So when I heard that they're talking about her, like, it kind of like made me mad.
Basketball players stepped to action, walked off the court, and asked the bully to stop.
It's not fair when other people get treated wrong because we're all the same. We're all created the same. God made us the same way.
How awesome is that? I mean, how about those students right there? You know, the only thing that I don't like about that clip is that she keeps referring to them as boys. These boys did this. These boys did that. Those aren't boys. Those are 14-year-old men right there is what that is. See, boys just go with the flow. Boys join in when someone else is picking on somebody. Men step in and protect and defend the honor of people who can't defend themselves. See, this is what we see through the life of David, through most of his life. I mean, he uses his physical presence to do whatever he needs to do. And you know, we even see this with King Saul, his soon-to-be father-in-law. He goes to King Saul, and he basically says, hey, what do I have to do to gain the bride, your daughter, into my life? And Saul, here's what he says to him. He says, the king desires no bride price except 100 foreskins of the Philistines, that he may be avenged of the king's enemies. We looked at this last week. I'm not sure what David's going to do right here. I mean, generally, to get someone's foreskins, you have to, like, kill them, right? I mean, men aren't just, like, handing these things out, you know what I'm saying? Hey, here you go, you can have mine. See, that's why we're talking to men around the campfire, because men think that's funny, right? We don't have to worry about, you know, anyway. So, you know, David, he used whatever he needed to do to get the job done. See, men, we need to realize physically we have a role to be a protector to those who can't protect themselves. Second sector is sexually. This is a way we protect by how we treat women sexually. See, men think about a woman's future. A boy only thinks about his own pleasure. Statistics are pretty consistent and well documented that 1 out of 5 college-aged women, 18 to 20% of women on college campuses will either be raped or attempted raped. Why is that? It's because we have way too many boys in our college campuses. We have way too many boys in our country. And it may not be forcing ourselves on somebody. I mean, we can all agree, I think, that that's not a good idea. But guys, listen. When you're dating somebody or you're pursuing somebody and you're like, hey, she consented, man. I mean, she consented. So, I mean, we're 2 consenting adults. I mean, she said it's okay, so I can do it, right? No, that's what boys do. See, boys are always saying, hey, if I can stick my hand in the candy jar, then it's okay, right? I mean, if I'm not going to get caught, if nobody's going to get me in trouble or, you know, somebody tells me it's okay, then I can do it, right? No, boys, they're always looking for the path of least resistance. See, guys, if you're dating or wanting to be dating or back dating again, you need to be thinking about her future, right? You need to be thinking about her future life because you're likely not going to be a part of it. Just because you're dating doesn't mean you're going to be a part of it. I mean, you need to ask yourself, am I protecting her life and her dreams and her ultimate future? Or am I just giving her somebody else to compare her husband to when she gets married? And what about your wife? I mean, you want to enter into your marriage relationship with as little sexual baggage as possible. And I'm not even talking about the spiritual ramifications on this, right? I mean, the spiritual ramifications are, you know, that God says when a man and a woman have intercourse, when a man and woman have oral sex, that they become one. There's a oneness that just happened. You're no longer 2 people, you're one. And this basically mirrors in the physical realm the oneness that God says we have with him when we enter a relationship with him in the heavenly realm. He said, there's a oneness, we're one. And when things in the physical realm don't mirror what's desired in the spiritual realm, things get all out of whack in the heavenly realms. Things get all out of whack with God. Now, boys are never going to track at that level. Boys hear that and they're like, "What? What are you talking about, girl? That doesn't happen." Seriously, boys can't do deeper thought. Boys never want to think about deeper things. They just want to think about what feels good right now. See, this is why we have what sometimes boys refer to as psycho chick. You know what psycho chick is? Anybody know psycho chick? Psycho chick is that girl you used to date and, you know, you broke things off with her, but you were sexually involved, and now you're like, "Man, she just won't leave me alone. She's psycho chick, man. It's like I told her we're done, and yet she just keeps coming back." You know why she keeps coming back? Because you adhered to her. And then you broke it off. And while you might be able to move on, there was a deep adhesion that took place, and she's in a lot of pain, and all she wants to do is have that back because there's something special about that. See, David's got problems in this area. I mean, David, you know, and this is one of the things I love about David. I mean, David, you know, sometimes we think the Bible's all about just giving us a perfect picture. None of the heroes in the Bible are made to look like perfect people. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, they're just like reporting how it goes. You know, they're recording history, all their faults. So David's a manly man. He's a man after God's own heart. That's what the scripture says about him. And yet, there are areas of his life where he's still boyish, and this is one of them right here, the area of sexuality. See, one day he's up on his roof in his kingdom when the rest of his army is out fighting. He should be out fighting. He's a warrior. He should be out with them. But he decides to opt out on going out to war with his warriors. That's boyish decision number one on the day. And so they're out protecting. He should be doing that. He's not on mission. And so he's home, and he's looking down at his kingdom. His house, his roof would have been the highest in the land. He's looking down at one of his neighbors, and he sees this beautiful woman bathing, doing a ritualistic bathing just down, you know, right next door. And he goes down and woos her into his castle. He becomes a predator in a sense. He uses his power to seduce her. They have sex. They have a child. And then he has to figure out, "Oh, my word, what are we going to do about this?" And so you know what he does? He goes and he actually brings her husband home. He ultimately ends up killing this woman's husband, who happens to be one of his best friends. And it's crazy, crazy stuff happens, all because of his boyish behavior. This is what boys do. Boys don't take responsibility. Eventually, he actually comes to the place where he repents before God. He and God get okay. He seeks repentance and forgiveness, says he's sorry. Because the crazy thing about God is God is a crazy forgiver. I mean, it's just unfathomable how much God can forgive. Unlike you and I, God's grace just goes on and on. But nonetheless, the rest of David's life after this, he and God are good. But because of his behavior, there are just certain things in his life now that don't click the way they used to. And so there's certain ramifications he begins to experience because of his behavior. I mean, there's certain things that are a bit out of whack in his family. Odd things begin to happen. I mean, his downline. I mean, after him, every successive king is progressively worse for the most part. All right? I mean, there's a few that get a little better, but most of them are worse. This is what the rest of the Old Testament's about. And one of the people on his downline, one of the kings of his loins, if you will, a few generations later, is a guy by the name of King Rehoboam. And King Rehoboam comes into power, and he's trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to help my people have the best life possible? And how do I enable the power that I have and allow myself to enjoy it? And so he begins to wrestle through the decisions he's going to make. And this is the next realm that we have to be protectors in, men. It's the realm of intellectual. Intellectually, a man shares his knowledge, but boys shun knowledge. See, men take time to build into other men. Men take time to, you know, be a mentor to someone, not just think about themselves. You know, men receive wisdom from other men who they may not like to receive, but they hear it and they go, "You know, yeah, that's the right thing I need to do." Boys just shun that. So Rehoboam, he's trying to figure out how to cement himself as a leader. And so he goes to the older men, the previous advisors to the king, and he says to them, "Hey, what do I need to do to get people going in the right direction? What do I need to do to get the economy going in the right direction?" And here's what these older, wiser men say to him. They say, "Listen, king, you just need to take care of your people. Do the right thing and take care of them. And guess what? Your people are going to honor you and take care of you. That's what you need to do. Don't overwork them. Take care of them. Protect them." And then he goes to the younger men, some of the what we would refer to as boys, and he says, hey, well, what should I do? How do I get people going the right direction? And they're like, dude, what are you talking about? Man, you're the king. Tell them I'm the king, man. I'm the man. Chop, chop. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to do whatever the heck I tell you to do because I'm the boss. If I tell you to work, you're going to work. If I tell you to work more, you're going to work more. In fact, here's how 1 Kings 12 spells it out. It says, but he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. Another way we could say this verse in the vernacular that we've been using is we could say, but he abandoned the counsel that the men gave him and he took the counsel from the boys. So he's like, man, that sounds a lot easier. The boys, man, that's the path of least resistance, right? I mean, I don't have to do the hard work of treating my people well. I just need to tell them I'm the boss. I'm going to snap the whip. And he lays out this edict, and here's what he actually says to the nation of Israel. He says, my little finger, think about this, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. He's like, from now on, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined with you with whips, but I'm going to discipline you with scorpions. So at this moment, he's like, man, I'm laying it on thick because I'm the boss, and I don't care. He's not protecting the nation of Israel. And after this edict, the nation of Israel splits and is never again the same. It rebels because a boy could not receive wisdom. I mean, there's a massive responsibility. I mean, I know here at Crosspoint, my role here at Crosspoint is kind of the boss man. I mean, it's, you know, I'm accountable to people, but I also realize my decisions, the decisions we make as a team, not only impact our staff, they impact volunteers, they impact people who make a paycheck here, people who don't make a paycheck here. We realize every single time we take on new initiatives, we expand what we're doing, that we've got to do that very wisely. I mean, I seek the counsel of people who have gone down paths before me because there's a fine line between just push, 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 which is my natural tendency, and protecting. Man, we have to man up on this. We need to be protectors intellectually of the people who are depending on us. Next realm is a man participates as a protector financially. See, a man is a giver, a boy is a getter. See, men use finances as a way to be generous, as a way to enable other people, to be generous with other people, whereas a boy just wants to get finances. How can I get what I want? How can I get more? How can I get more than the next guy? How can I get what I want and keep as much as possible? Because it's all about themselves. See, David, he comes to the end of his life and he passes on the reins of the nation of Israel to his son Solomon. And in doing so, he takes on the major challenge of rebuilding the temple. In fact, he gives the lead gift to rebuild the temple for the nation of Israel. And he does this because he's a man. He does this because his whole life has been about being generous, not being about, hey, how can I get more and keep more? It's not about what can I get. It's about how can I give and enable. And I tell you what, money is a fascinating thing. I'm not driven by money. It's not a value that drives me. I may have to have it. But I tell you what, it does weird things to us, right? I mean, I remember early on at Crosspoint when we first started expanding our staff team, when it went from like me and a bunch of volunteers to beginning to hire people, I remember every time we expanded and as we were growing and we added a staff member that was making a paycheck, even though it was exciting, I got a little bit depressed in that moment. And I couldn't figure out why. I'd just get a little bummed out. It'd be like this feeling of just kind of pushing me down and this weight on my shoulders. And one day I realized it. One day I realized, oh my word, this is why. It's because this is like the weight of responsibility. When it was just me, then I wasn't responsible for other people. But as I'm on-ramping new staff members, as we're doing even right now a lot, I mean, we're constantly onloading new staff. You know, I realized, man, there's a weight of responsibility. And back then, that just kind of pushed me down. And it was almost depressing to me because I felt the burden to protect them financially. In many cases, and still is the case today, when people join our team, man, they're taking massive pay cuts from what they could be making in other places. And I just think to myself, man, what if I fail? What if I'm not a good leader? What if I have a moral failing? And this fear would just begin to overtake me. And that depressed feeling was actually very boyish. And that was me not like wanting to take financial responsibility for anybody else. And as I've been able to identify that, I mean, it's still hard at times. But I mean, as I've been able to identify that, I've been maturing and saying, you know what, this is part of what it means to be a leader and a man, is I need to be in a place where I trust God. And as I've done that, and it doesn't, the fear doesn't really come over me anymore. I mean, we on-ramp staff even as we did this week. And it's a very freeing thing now because I know that God, something God calls me to. See, if you're going to be a protector as a man, you have to understand your role to be a financial protector. It means you're going to have to figure out how to order your money differently. Or you can't always spend a zero every month because you can't be a protector when you spend a zero. It means you're going to have to figure out how to make your cars go longer. So you can have, when you're done paying it off, you can have a season where you pool your car payment to create a savings. It means you're going to have to learn how to vacation differently. All right? I mean, we vacation all the time, but I tell you what, we don't spend nearly what we could on vacations because I've learned to maximize those. This is what you do when you're a man. You protect your family financially. You know, every year since Crosspoint began, nearly 10 years ago, 10 years next month, we've been blessed, really. We've been blessed, even through the recession years, for Crosspoint's income to grow by a good percentage. You know, anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15% a year. And every year it happens. It happened this year. We grew by nearly 10% income of people investing in the ministry at Crosspoint this year over what happened last year. I mean, we had Game Change Initiative on top of that this past year, where we committed an unprecedented amount for Crosspoint, nearly $1 million committed over 3 years, and we're ahead of pace to bring that in. I mean, that blows me away. Blows me away. It enables us to just continue to pursue how we're expanding and reaching into our community. But I'm always bummed when every now and then somebody would be like, oh man, Crosspoint's growing by the percentages. I mean, that churches don't do that. Kurt must be doing something weird on money. You know, Kurt's doing something weird on money. Boys always think that way, don't they? Boys always think that, you know, whenever you call someone to a higher standard, something weird must be going on. Now we're just calling people to a higher standard. That's all we're doing. See, we have to realize that one of the ways we protect even our church is we become a leader with our finances. The last sector, spiritually, men aggressively lead others to Christ. Boys passively let others discover God for themselves. This is the final realm of protectors I want us to look at today. And I want us to go back to 1 Peter, this verse we looked at earlier, because we may have missed it, you know, the end verse on here, because we kind of get hung up with the weaker vessel controversy here. So let's look at it again. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives and understand, showing honor to the women of the weaker vessel, since there is the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Read that again. So that your prayers may not be hindered. Listen, you know what this is saying right here? This is saying our spiritual strength is in part tied to the way that we protect men, those who are weaker than us, whatever that means. It means there's a spiritual link right here, that when you and I operate with a vibrancy in our protecting life, it actually opens up a vibrancy in our prayer life so that our prayers aren't hindered. It means, in essence, that the consistency with which your prayers are said yes to by God is directly tied to how you perform in these other sectors. That's what this is saying. See, David. Get this, David is building into his son Solomon. Solomon's dad, David, is building into him right up to his deathbed. Now, I don't see this very often anymore. In fact, what I often see is dads doing something like, well, I don't really want to shape my son spiritually. I want to let him figure it out for himself. Guess what? That's what boys say. Boys say that. Oh, I'm just going to let him figure out what works for him. I don't want to force Jesus. I'm not talking about forcing Jesus. I mean, I'm like, do you know God? I mean, this is like your DNA coursing through your son or daughter's life. And you're just going to let them figure it out for themselves? Do you not have anything where you can shape and mentor? Well, all spiritualities are the same. I mean, Buddha, you know, Muslim faith, Christianity. No, they're not the same. Not the same at all. Totally different. Sometimes I'll hear a boy say, oh, I don't need to do religious, rigorous thought. I don't need to go on things like man camp. Yes, you do. You do. Men, you need to go. All right, you need to be there. I don't need to do fight club. You need to go. See, that's what boys think. I don't need to grow spiritually. David is building into his son, even on his deathbed. Here's what it says. It says, in you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. This is discipleship right here. This is discipleship is just building into someone. He's building his son up into mature stature right here. See, the next time spirituality comes up at the water cooler or, you know, over the lunch hour and the lunch table in the lunchroom, just notice how people with similar convictions to you, when faith comes up, notice how they begin to clam up. Notice how they kind of pull out of the conversation and just sit back. Notice how they kind of zip it. They don't have the ability or the rigor to be able to enter a faith conversation appropriately. Those are boys. It's boyish behavior. See, men will actually enter the conversation and say, hey, it's interesting you think that about God. That's not my experience at all. And then they'll share their experience. Because that's what men do. Men are spiritual protectors. There's an amazing guy by the name of Ernest Shackleton. Maybe you've heard of him before. He piloted the ship, the Endurance. A book was written about the Endurance. He was an explorer back in the earlier parts of our country. He was on an expedition to check out Antarctica. And in the process, his ship, it got bogged down in the ice, and it kind of crunch, came to a stop and then began to tip over in the middle of the sea. And his expeditionist guys, the guys that went on this expedition with him, they all had to get off the boat, and they had to walk by foot across the frozen sea to safety. And the amazing thing about this whole expedition is none of them died. Every single one of them made it. I mean, it was unheard of at that time. And what's most fascinating to me about this whole ordeal is how Ernest got his crew. It was very fascinating. He actually put an ad in a local newspaper, and here's what it read. Just think about how you'd respond to this. He said, men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger. Anybody signing up for that? Safe return, doubtful. Like, all right. Honor and recognition in case of success. Get this. 5,000 men showed up the next day for this job. Can you believe that? 5,000 men. How inspiring is that? Do you think if we put that on Facebook today, you know, with that description, 5,000 men would be showing up tomorrow to apply for this? I don't think so. I mean, all I want to say, help us see and recognize is that I'm saying things that most of us don't necessarily agree with. I'm saying things that don't go with the flow of our culture. But come on, in all the history we know, I don't know that there's ever been a category of men in a generation in the history of the world that physically can't engage the way we do today. I mean, if we were to have a draft today and fight World War III, the way we did World War II, I mean, if we had to draft men that aren't currently in the military, how do you think we'd do? I think we wouldn't do very well. I really don't. We need to learn how to defend physically. In fact, I want you to take out your connection card. These are all part of our next steps. I want to walk through each of these five sectors. They're on the back of your cards this morning. And men especially, this is for everybody, women and students as well. But men, I want you to think, where is there an outage in my protection? Where do I need to step up my game as a protector? Is it physically? If it's physically, man, just ask God. Mark it on here. Declare it and say, God, what's the next immediate thing I need to do to physically become a better protector? Sexually, I mean, I don't think there's a generation of men in a population that's ever been less sexually restrained than we are right now today. If that area is a struggle, just ask God, mark it. Say, God, what do I need? What's my immediate next step? Do I need to take a step out of porn? Do I need to quit sleeping with my girlfriend? Whatever it is, what's the immediate step? Financially, I mean, we know the statistics on credit cards, right? I mean, the lack of savings, the enormous debt we carry, if that's a struggle for you, you can't protect when you're financially in debt. God, what's the immediate next step I need to take? Intellectually, we can't track a line of thought like we used to be able to. I mean, we get distracted because we always got to be looking at our phone, and we can't take wisdom from people wiser than us because we think they don't know what they're talking about, when actually they do. I mean, if you struggle with receiving wisdom in your life, what's a step you need to take? You know, spiritually speaking, I mean, I don't even talk about that. I mean, for the most part, we're boys when it comes to spiritual protection. If you've ever said, man, you know, I should just be a better husband. I should be a better dad. I should be a better father, you know, better employee. I ought to be just a better lifelong learner. Or man, I should just spiritually lead a little better in my home. If you've ever said any of those, I mean, I've said those multiple times, but you've never done anything about it, man, I want to challenge you to 10 Fight Club kickoff on March 3rd. This 10 weeks will train you, and you just got to trust me on this. I didn't think I had a lot of room to grow, man. It kicked my rear end all 10 weeks, and I am so much better as a man because of it. See, man, we're calling men to a different standard here at Crosspoint. We want to do something different. We don't want to just, you know, succumb to the boyish numbness of our society. We want to go after this ultimate figure, Jesus, who shows us what it means to live adventure and to live on purpose and to be the man we're called to be. Hey God, thank you for calling us to new places. God, thank you for calling me to a new place. I know this has definitely happened even this week as I prepared for today. And God, I don't know what you're speaking into our hearts right now, but I just pray that you would take this word and that you would sink it into our hearts, Holy Spirit. And for those of us who you reside in this morning, I just trust that you're doing that right now. Help us to see what our immediate next step is, where maybe there's an outage, place I need to man up, step up. And God, for those of us who maybe have never taken that step, never, you know, the path to manhood and the path to Jesus, to you, God, are two totally different pathways. They intersect some, but they're different. In fact, if there's anybody who's hearing my voice right now who's just being warmed, maybe being open for the first time to you of seeing that, man, one of the first steps I need to take is actually one to Jesus and just beginning relationship with him. I see he's a God who's got amazing forgiveness capabilities. That can begin for you right now. In fact, it can start by you just saying something like, Jesus, I want that relationship with you. Would you come and forgive me? Would you forgive me for my boyish ways? Would you forgive me for all the boyish things I've done of not protecting and of taking advantage of women? And would you fill me? Would you fill me and would you just guide me? Just help me see what the next thing is I need to do. Oh, great love of God, would you just come and take away my sin. Amen. Amen. In fact, we're going to sing on that, how the ultimate protector, Jesus, came to bring us love and to take away our sins. So let's stand and sing this together.